Hey, what is going on, Los Angeles? It's J.Dot, T.Dot, and today is Sunday, January 4th, 2026, and I am speaking to you from Los Angeles on what is probably the darkest day for Latin American communities across the city of L.A. and the state of California and all over the U.S. since the ICE raids, which launched this past summer, that abducted thousands of allegedly or so-called undocumented people under the false flag of immigration enforcement by the Stephen Miller and Trump regime. Today is the darkest day since that time because, of course, I am speaking about the unprovoked attack and invasion of Venezuela this past Saturday, January 3rd, which included not only the abduction of the acting president of the Venezuelan state, that is Nicolas Maduro, but also the bombing of several cities across Venezuela, which led to the death of at least 40 Venezuelan people, which I anticipate to climb to at least double that once the authorities are able to properly count for these communities. And so what I've also got up on the screen here is a short history of only 11 of more than 50 different U.S. interventions in Latin America since just the 1950s, well into the 2010s. And I'll include a link to the map in the show notes so that you can study it more closely yourself or on your own time. But I think it's so important to showcase this kind of media for a moment at times like these because of the cyclical forgetfulness of the U.S. people or people inside of the United States when it comes to, well, foreign policy, which is really just the policy of banks and corporations as facilitated by the U.S. government and its military instruments. And so you can see through the map that going back to the Bay of Pigs invasion in the 1950s, another unprovoked attack on a Latin American nation by the United States, which was a catastrophic failure, a failure heard all around the world. Since about that time, the U.S. has constantly found a way to destabilize this region and tear up these communities and ravage their resources in order to satisfy the profit margins of banks and corporations intent on absolute domination of their economic agenda, particularly here in the so-called Western Hemisphere. This, of course, also goes back to something known as the Monroe Doctrine, which was a policy of the United States asserting or exerting its control over resources in Latin America across decades because it simply could, because once it obtained a certain level of military prowess, it decided to use that to its utmost ability, which led, of course, to mass migration, but also mass death and starvation. And so it's no surprise to me personally that we find ourselves in the aftermath of this kind of event at such an early point in the year, because after Trump and Stephen Miller and their goons were able to run around as much as they did in their opening year, in their first couple of months in office, particularly through ICE and the imposition of tariffs on trading partners, what they learned or gathered from the experience was that they could basically get away with the vast majority of their heinous and lawless thuggishness across fields from economic policy to domestic police activity with very little damage to them or their ability to maintain control thereafter. And so I am definitely talking about, say, the fact that recently U.S. courts decided that the administration has no basis by which to deploy the National Guard to cities such as L.A. or Chicago or New York under the auspices of immigration enforcement or policy. And yet, at that rate, the fact that this decision came some 6 or 7 months after the administration did just that, it was absolutely proof that they could wreak havoc as much as they liked. And then once they satisfied their appetite in this area, they could move on to another where they'd wreak havoc yet again before finding another crisis to exploit for their own gains and purposes. And so that's exactly what we have going on here just as well. Because even if this upcoming week Congress decides to place some kind of symbolic limitation on the administration's ability to wage war offshore through an unprovoked attack of a sovereign state, even if that ends up taking place here, the fact of the matter is that now that the U.S. has shown just what it can do, now that the administration in particular has shown what the U.S. can do with very little consequence, it will simply continue along these lines until it is more or less forced to take on another issue through the exploitation of another crisis, leading us all to this kind of fatigue and this sort of inability to actively curtail the imperialist inclinations of this regime and its partners in banking and so-called governing institutions, not just in the United States, but across the region and even across the world. So I do think that it is also early in the game. That is, it's too early to say just what the aftermath is going to look like in Venezuela in particular, but hey, the fact of the matter is that in 2003, not long after the United States invaded Iraq under the false pretenses of weapons of mass destruction, the then President George W. Bush got up on a warship and declared that the mission was accomplished. What ensued for more than 15 years after that day was bloodshed on both the U.S. and the Iraqi side, leading to the death of thousands of U.S. soldiers and probably tens of thousands of cases of PTSD on the U.S. side, and millions of lives lost and millions of lives damaged or traumatized on the Iraqi side. And so it's too early to say whether that's what is going to take place here, but we should also point out that it was only in the last 20 years that the U.S. was involved in Venezuelan politics on illegal grounds. In 2002, there was a coup d'etat, actually, that was supported by the United States so as to forcibly remove then President Hugo Chavez from office. Hugo Chavez and his soldiers rallied, however, and were able to successfully fend off the the military personnel who had decided to align themselves with the US's support at that time, but not without the loss of at least some, of at least 10 people during that time. Because, yeah, like, what is a coup d'etat without a couple of lives taken here and there? I mean, that's exactly how these war profiteers think. They really do not value human life or care for the on-the-ground experiences of people who actually have to live in these regions and suffer through their heinous exploitation of resources which they have no claim to. They just go on and, again, ask questions later, maybe, probably not, though. And so, yeah, let me pull up this text that just points out the way that essentially at around this time, the army, or these loyalists to Hugo Chavez, fought back against the attempted removal of their leader. It says here, so as you can see, it says here that when people protested the call for, the illegal call for Hugo Chavez's resignation, there were a set of snipers in place who actually shot at several of the demonstrators and killed at least 10 of them. They then used that as a rallying cry to allege that it was actually Hugo Chavez's side who murdered these innocent bystanders, these people simply protesting for their right to hold on to their democratically elected leader at that time. And so this was in April 2002, and since about then, the US has certainly kept Venezuela in its eyesight through one administration or the other. But now, with the invasion of Venezuela once again, just as 2026 gets going, it is difficult to say just what kind of resistance might build up, though I do know that resistance will build up on the Venezuelan side, because these are folks who seek to maintain the sovereignty of their nation and the sovereignty of the nation's resources to the utmost degree that is possible for them. Latin America, and anyone who studies Latin America, again, has been invaded over 50 times since just the 1950s alone. So for students of Latin American history, the U.S. encroaching on their sovereignty is not new, but cyclical. And because of that, you have had the development of real schools of thought focused on absolute resistance of U.S. imperialism, because at this rate, they and their communities know it all too well. And so that is what it comes down to at the end of the day. The reason that these events cast such a long shadow over all of Latin America is because if the United States can kidnap Nicolas Maduro, the acting president of a sovereign state, in the matter of just a couple of months, then what's to stop the United States from doing the same to any leader in Latin America who does not comply with the interest of U.S. banks and corporations? Just what is it that's going to stop or prevent the administration from going after its enemies or people that it deems enemies? At this rate, there is no telling. And so this is, once again, the policy that the United States is deciding to run along with, or deciding to tacitly approve or make no major qualms about, then we are on the verge of a new Monroe Doctrine and a new U.S. empire or I should say U.S. bank and corporate empire across the region, because this is what opening up markets by force looks like. And really, this is a formula that the U.S. has perfected, not just in Latin America, but across the world for over a century at this point. And so I'm certain that somewhere in his office, Donald Trump sat down with some of his buddies from Miami and decided that, hey, you know what, given the inability of the administration to make anything better for working class communities, be they white, black, Latin American, Asian, or Native American here, since that's essentially a done deal, that is, since that's been a bust ever since the tariffs, why not go after the rest of Latin America and engage in one military conflict after another so as to create constant crisis to exploit and justify authoritarianism? I don't see just what other interest might take up the administration's view at this point, because there is no agenda for working class people here. There is no line item by which to look at actual reform of U.S. healthcare policy. There's nothing on the table in terms of making groceries affordable again for people all across the United States, but especially people in the rural parts of the country. Therefore, crisis, wherever it can be manufactured, is of the utmost importance. And so this is what we find ourselves grappling with in Latin America from this day forward. But in truth, it's what communities across the world have had to deal with to one extent or another under U.S. imperialism, or when it comes to U.S. imperialism, because it's not limited just to the American continent, but it spans around the world. On that note, it's also key to point out that if we are on the verge of a new Monroe Doctrine, then the United States is basically implying to Russian interests that the annexation of more of Ukraine is absolutely justified, because that's what major powers do. It's also implying to China that it can definitely make a fuss and take up arms over Taiwan, because that's what major powers do. And so this is a sort of final point for communities that voted for Trump to consider. This was the no new wars president, the no new wars candidate. Those of us in places like Los Angeles knew from the get-go that we couldn't trust a word out of Donald Trump's mouth since 2016, with few exceptions. But now you can see that if this is the new norm under the Trump administration, then there is no making America great again. There is only banks and corporations whose interests will be made the utmost priority again, right? Because one war leads to another, and we have reverberating effects from one conflict that continue to escalate. And this, of course, is how we found ourselves in not just one, but two different world wars, which cost people their lives all across the globe, and which led us to the outsourcing model on which we're so reliant now. So if this is what you voted for in 2016, and then once again in 2020, then just know that it's time to wake up and smell the coffee as to just what you actually approved of when you signed off on this administration at the helm again. With that said, we will definitely be back with more in no time soon. But for now, go ahead and check out the show notes to grab a copy of this map for yourself just as well. And don't doubt for a moment that I will be back just around the way in no time again soon with more updates on the ongoing situation in Venezuela and across the region and from Los Angeles, because that's the city that I do it in and that's the city that I do it for. So do let your people know, do let the city know, because it's J.T.T. Yeah.